I shared a little bit from a book last week that I've been reading, written by a pastor named Jim Raley out of Ormond Beach, Florida, just outside of Daytona, called Dream Killers. And I've had the book on my shelf for probably 4 years. And I just picked it up this couple weeks ago and been reading it. It's really been speaking to my life. And I want to share some of what I received from that book this week and this morning. In Genesis chapter 37, I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. But it's Genesis 37, verse 23. In Genesis 37 and 23, it says this: "So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him." The Amplified Version states it this way: "Now when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped from him his tunic, the distinctive multicolored tunic which he was wearing." And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about lose the coat. It's time to lose the coat. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord God, to be here. God, I thank you for the worship service, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us amazing grace, Lord God. I thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord God, that you have been here and that you've already ministered. And I just ask you to continue to have your way this morning, God. I pray that I would get out of the way, and Lord, that we would all get out of our own way and just let you minister to us and let you speak to our lives, Lord God. Father, I ask you just to have your way in this place this morning, God, that I wouldn't speak, but that your Spirit would flow freely through me, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord God, to go to the next level that you have for us, to go deeper and closer to you, Lord God. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory in your precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. How many of you know that there's as Aaron had already mentioned as she was speaking this morning, that there's a God-given purpose for every single one of us? There's a dream and that God has placed inside each one of us, that there are things that we're supposed to do and there are places that we're supposed to go. There are individuals that God has put in our path and in our lives to minister to. And we do have purpose and we do have dreams, but I may also know that there are some dream killers that come into our lives. There are some events and there are some places and there are even some people that come into our lives that the enemy has strategically placed within our lives to kill our dreams and to keep us from reaching our purpose and to keep us from reaching our destiny. And every now and then is that what happens is that they come along and I'm going to share a message next week about that there's purpose in our pain. But this morning I'm going to talk about the fact that we need to lose our coat. That sometimes, as we read here, we know, if you know the story in Genesis chapters 37 through chapter 50, it's the story of Joseph. And you know in 37 that Joseph went to see his brothers, and when he went to see his brothers saw him coming a long way off, and they wanted to kill him, and then they decided, no, we won't kill him, we're gonna beat him up, and we're gonna take his multicolored jacket, his multicolored garment that dad had given because he was daddy's favorite, that we're gonna take that from him, we're gonna beat him up, we're gonna throw him into a pit, we're gonna sell him into slavery, then we're gonna kill an animal, and we're gonna put blood on that coat, and we're gonna take it back to dad, and dad's gonna think that Joseph is dead, and he's gonna be as good as dead to us, and so that's what's happened, as they see him coming, that they beat him up, and they take the coat from him, and they had evil intentions, they were dream killers, and Joseph's lives, and sometimes that's hard to say, but sometimes family can be dream killers. Sometimes church family can be dream killers because they don't want you. If you see and I read to you the Amplified Version, because there's a very distinctive word. It said it was a distinctive coat. It was a distinctive coat. It was a unique coat. You could tell that it was Joseph's coat, and there are people that they don't like your distinctiveness. Is it okay to say that? But they don't like everything's okay as long as it fits into my little box. But if it doesn't fit into my little box, I'm gonna let you know. Sometimes, even church folk can be dream killers. But I love the end of the story of Joseph, because when his brothers are talking to him, and I know I share this a lot, but when his brothers are talking to him and apologizing, and he asks them a question. And that's a rhetorical question, right? I mean, they didn't need to answer, because he basically says, he says to him, he says, Genesis chapter 50, verse 17, I believe it says, "Am I not in the place of God?" It's a rhetorical question, because obviously he's in the place of God, because God has blessed him. He's second in command in Egypt, and he's got all of this resources that when his brothers come and they're hungry, he's able to just bless them. And not only that, but eventually he moves them into Egypt, and they get the best land in Egypt, all because he was in the place of God. He said, "What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good, for the saving of many lives." And so we need to understand that sometimes when that we need to lose some things, and that's kind of the premises of the whole message. Sometimes we need to lose some things in order to get where God wants us to be. Sometimes there's addition by subtraction. Sometimes there's addition in your life by subtraction in your life. Right? God subtracted the sin. There was addition to your life. We don't like to think about it this way, but sometimes there's addition to the church by subtraction. And I'll just let that marinate for a while and let you chew on that for a while. But we need to lose the coat. In fact, if you were to, in biblical times, the outer garment, the coat or the mantle was usually made of wool or goat's hair or cotton or linen. And it was, depending on the conditions, it was a multifaceted. It was a multi-purpose jacket. You know how many of you got one of those that you can buy one, you know, you can go and spend a lot of money from Columbia and you can get one of those like 5-in-1 jackets where it's a multifaceted, it's waterproof and it's windproof, and when it's not too cold out, you can take the inner layer out and it can be like a spring or a fall jacket. But it was multi-purpose because depending on the conditions, it could serve as a blanket when it was cold out, or it could be a rug or a pillow when you were tired. And in Jewish culture, the coat was a very valuable possession because it was your identity. You knew, you could look at the jacket and you knew whose it was. And in fact, in Joseph's time, when you looked at the jacket, you didn't wonder, is that Reuben's jacket? Is that Judah's jacket? Is that Issachar's jacket? No, that's Joseph's jacket. That's Joseph's garment, because it was your identity. In fact, in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 26, it says this: "If you ever take your poor neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down." It's the only thing in Scripture that was forbidden not to be used as collateral or payment for debt, that you couldn't take it from the poor because it was their one possession. It was customary if you had the resources that people wanted them to be brightly colored and ornamental. They were worn to weddings and to celebrations. Kings and officials had many of them. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22 tells us. And they had many of them to wear. And they also had some to give away as gifts. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 21, we can see this. And the coat symbolized a certain level of status, depending on the brightness and the ornamentalness. I know, I just made that up. It's okay. Remember, math degree, addition by subtraction, not English degree, right? Okay? Depending on the quality of the garment, it symbolized a certain level of status. And when the owner, when you changed coats, when you took off one coat and put on another coat, it represented a level of elevation or a level of financial, social, or political elevation. And this morning, I want us to think about the fact that there's some coats that we need to lose. There's some things that we need to take off because God wants to advance us. God wants us to take us to a different level in Him. God wants to take us to a deeper understanding of His purpose and His plan for our lives. God wants to stretch us. But in order to do that, there are some possessions and there are some identities and there are some status and there are some things that we need to lay down, that we need to lay aside, that we need to take off in order to get there. In fact, in the Old Testament, you can see that the change of clothing was used three times in the Old Testament. It was used in Genesis chapter 45 when the brothers came to see Joseph for the first time. He gave to each man changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. You know, he wanted them to understand that he was getting ready to change their, he was getting ready to change their status level. He was getting ready to change their identity. They were hungry and they were in need, but he wanted to show them that there's more than enough in Father's house. And in Judges chapters 14, I won't read it to you, but in Judges chapters 14, verses 12 and 13, Samson puts a almost like a bet out to some Philistines. I said, this is what's going to happen. And he gives a riddle to them. And he said, if you can solve it, I'll give you 30 changes of garments. And if you can't solve it, you'll give me 30 changes of garments. Samson was displaying a level or a status of authority. And then in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 5, the king say to Naaman, he says, this is the king of Syria said, go now. And I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. The king was sending a gift. He was sending a gift with Naaman to the prophet. And so that we can see that every time there's a reason why that the change of garments was going to happen. And in the life of Joseph, every time he was about to go to the next level in his destiny, there was a change of garments. He lost something to gain something. It always represented something that God was doing, that God wanted to do in his life. But he had to be willing to lose the coat to get to the next level of his destiny. He had to be willing to lose his identity, his value, his possessions, and his status. Here's the problem, though. And here's the truth. Change is difficult. When you ask people to change, words like hate, despise, and no way come from their mouths. And even if they're not that blunt, there's resistance, there's hesitancy, and there's a pause. Change never comes easy because it requires us admitting that what we are currently doing, performing, or believing is no longer valid, up to date, or necessary. I want to read that to you again. Change never comes easy because it requires us admitting that what we are currently doing, performing, or believing is no longer valid, up to date, or necessary. But here's the truth. Everything in life changes except for God. We all change. We all change. I had this conversation with someone just the other day, but you know, I'm not the same person I was 25 years ago. I've changed, and even as simple as shoveling out when we were supposed to get a snowstorm this week, and just a public service announcement. If it comes, I'll let you know by noontime Wednesday if we have church or not, because it's supposed to come Tuesday night into Wednesday. But 20 years ago, I would have called myself a sissy, just being honest, for using a snowblower. I'm being honest. I don't need no stinking snowblower. Give me a shovel. You take the snowblower, I'll take the shovel, and I'll get done before you. Right? Now my boy's like, can I use the snowblower? And I said, no, that's mine. You got the shovel. You know? We go over and shovel out Miss Lori's, and I'll be like, Josh, you got the bottom porch. I got the top porch. I'm going to shovel down to you so that you have to shovel twice as much. Okay? Before, be like, come on, all of you, shovel it here, and I'll keep up with all of you. Didn't used to be, no. Working on it. But just saying, you know, but now it's like, you get up, and you look at it, and you're like, I saw Connor out this morning with a sledgehammer beating on ice. I'm like, Connor, there's a bag of salt right over there. Throw the salt on it. Let the salt do the work. Oh, this is more fun, Pastor. He goes, this is a young man's game. I'm like, yeah, it's a young man. Yeah. Talk to me in 25 years. You'll be wearing, where's the salt, Pastor? But everything in life changes except for God. I thank God I'm not the same Christian I was 20 years ago. You should thank God I'm not the same pastor I was 17 years ago. I'm just saying, everything in life changes except for God. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. I don't change. He doesn't change. But the rest of us, we need to accept change. And I would even say sometimes we need to embrace it. Now, I'm not saying change just for the sake of change. I'm not saying that. There's no need of that. There's no need, teenage girls. There's no need to change your clothes 7 times in a day. There's no need of that. That's ridiculous. That's a whole lot of laundry. That's a whole lot of laundry. We don't change just for change's sake. But change is necessary for transformation and for renewal. Change is necessary for transformation and for renewal. If you choose not to change to be spiritually dead, dry, comfortable, and predictable, we'll fail to reach out to a lost and dying world for Jesus Christ. Here's the key, though. We need to change. We need to be current, but not carnal. We need to change our methods, but not our message. Because I read this week, and I can't remember where I found it. I should have given reference to it. But it said this. It said, when churches refuse to change, they get in danger of being irrelevant. And the next step after irrelevant is extinct. We can't continue to do everything that the exact same way. We can't continue, and that's as individually and collectively, we cannot continue to be the exact same way year in and year out and year in and year out. That's treading water. When we tread water, you don't really stay in the same place. The tide takes you away. You've fallen back. Joseph achieved his potential because he was willing to change. Each time Joseph made a transition, another step in his destiny, he lost a coat. And I want to just talk to you for a few moments about, I want to say three, but there might be a fourth one that comes in. Is it all right if I use some of your family's coats? Is that okay? Okay. If I rip them, I'll replace them, I promise you. Something like, what's going to happen here? But here's what's happening. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 31, it says this. So they took Joseph's tunic, they killed a kid of goats and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it's this with your son's tunic or not? Joseph lost a coat. In this case, he lost a coat. And what I want to say is it was a coat of immaturity. What had happened is this. You actually outgrow your coats. You see, Joseph was a teenager. Joseph was a teenager when he had the dream, when he dreamt the dream. And I won't even try to put it on because I will rip it. But what happened was, by the time Joseph, the scholars say he was somewhere around 17 when he had the dream, and he was about 30 when he went into the palace. There's 13 years that passed there. He's a teenager when he has the dream. And the coat was given to him when he was a young boy. And as he grew in his relationship with the Lord, as he grew in his relationship, what happens is the coat no longer fits. You've got to lay the coat down. And I call this first coat the coat of immaturity. He was 17 years old and he had this dream and he had this vision of his brothers. And the second time he said the moon and the sun and the moon and the stars, they all bow before him. And so he even gets so brave as to say, Mom and Dad, you're going to bow too. And you're going to bow before me. And he had this dream and he had this destiny. And he wasn't ready to get to the destiny right yet. Sometimes God gives you a dream, but you can't have it right now. There's some things you got to go through in order to get to the destiny. There's some things that God's got to work out of you. There's some things that I was 19 years old when God called me into the ministry. I was not ready to go into the ministry at 19 years of age. There was a whole lot of Art Fair Brother that had to get out of Art Fair Brother before I could become a pastor. I promise you that. There was a whole lot that God needed. There was a whole lot of rough edges that God needed to smooth down. There was a whole lot of sanding that needed to take place before I could become what God wanted me to be. Because I was too immature. I wasn't ready for the responsibility. And Joseph wasn't ready for the responsibility. But as he continued with his journey with the Lord, that there was the first coat he had to lose because it didn't fit. Pastor's got big shoulders. It doesn't fit. You gotta lay it down. You gotta cast it aside. Sometimes it'll be taken from you. Sometimes you lay it down yourself. But you gotta lose the coat of immaturity. You gotta understand, oh come on now, this is gonna preach if you'll help me this morning. That Joseph, well, oh come on. Joseph was the next to the youngest. And when he was a teenager and he got the dream, I wish Jake were here this morning because he could help me, but Connie, you're gonna have to help me. Okay, stay right there. No, you don't have to go. Ain't nobody push your buttons like younger siblings are there. Right? Come on now, it's okay. They know every button. They know where it is. And they know how to push it. And they know when to push it. And they know when to push it for maximum response. Right? Right, Talia? Right? Right? Chloe and Shaylee, they know every button. They know where it is. They know how hard. They know just how much pressure to apply to get the response that they want. And you gotta believe. I gotta believe that when Joseph told the dream, it wasn't a one-time thing. I got an idea. He reminded of them that on a fairly regular basis. And he said, hey, you might be older than me. You might be bigger than me. You might be stronger than me. But don't forget, God said you're gonna bow before me. And every time they started to puff up their chest, he said, don't forget, gonna come a day, you're gonna bow before. Immature means not fully developed, a state of incompletion. True fact, guys, this is an excuse if you're under 25. Your frontal lobe is not fully developed until you're 25. That's scientifically proven. It's the craziest thing that we want our 16, 17, 18 year old boys to make decisions for the rest of their life that they're really not mature enough to make quite yet. I want you, just let that sink in for a little while. That was free this morning. But God took Joseph's coat of immaturity and adolescence because he no longer needed it. Because God had more for him. And this morning I want you to understand that God has more for you. There's more of him that he has for you. And sometimes that means you have to, and I'm sure it wasn't easy for Joseph to lose the coat. That coat represented who he was. That coat represented daddy's favor. That coat represented dad's blessings. And I'm sure he wanted to hang on to the jacket. I'm sure he wanted to hang on to the garment. But God said, Joseph, you don't need this anymore. There's another level. There's another identity that you're going to have. There's more to your walk than you presently have. And I wonder, what do we do? What did Joseph do when he lost the coat? He lost his identity. Or how about in 1 Kings, excuse me, yeah, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7, when Elijah goes to the brook and God says, go to the brook because I'm going to take care of you there. And all of a sudden, 1 Kings 17 and 7, the brook runs dry. What do you do when the brook runs dry? Or in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, when Demas, who had been traveling with Paul, and Demas deserts Paul, he forsakes, the Bible says, Paul said, he's forsaken me, he's left me. What do you do? What do you do when your friends forsake you? What do you do when your source of life and your supply, it dries up? What do you do when the thing that identifies you is taken away from you? How do you respond and how do you react? I love the story in 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah, because the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, you need to go to Zarephath, because in Zarephath there's a widow there who's going to take care of you. There's a whole lot wrong in the natural with what God told him. First off, in biblical times, the widows had hard enough time taking care of themselves. Secondly, if you understand Bible, when things were named in the Bible, they were named for a reason. When person was named, it was named for a reason. They prophetically spoke into their lives. And when towns were named, they were named for a reason, because it was what the town was all about. And the name Zarephath means smelting pot. A place where precious metals is refined. And so when God said, Elijah, you got to go to Zarephath, he said, Elijah, the brook's dried up, but there's more to come. I got to refine you a little bit more. You got to go to a place where you can be refined. You've got to go to a place where I can work on you a little bit more, because there's a whole nother level that's going to come to your walk with the Lord. I love what the Bible says. The Bible says Elijah did it. We must maintain perspective when we begin to lose our identity, when the things that our supplies are drying up and our resources are drying up, and we can take the way of pouting. We can take the way of trying to figure it out. We can take the way of having a bad attitude. We can take all of that, or we can go to the Lord and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to do here? I've got to maintain perspective, because I am who He says I am. Think about that. I'm not who the world says I am. I'm not who people say I am. I'm who God says I am. And so I'm going to go to Him for my source. And I'm going to go to Him for all that I need. Think about this truth. God will remove what you don't need in order to take you to that next level in your walk with Him. When a trial, test, or tribulation comes, we need to view it not so much as a test, but as a teaching moment. I didn't figure you'd get excited about that, but when a trial, tribulation, or test comes, and I have not, by any stretch of the imagination, perfected that, because I'm as good as any of you, sitting on the couch and having a good pout. But I'm growing, and I'm trying to become what God. When difficulties come, recently, God, what do you want me to learn? Okay, let's skip as much of the pain as possible, God. I know I got to go through some of it, but hey, I don't need to inflict any more on me than I was already here. So, God, what do you want me to learn? Just, Lord, help me. Let me be that straight A student, God. Let me learn quickly, God. Let me learn quickly. I understand that sometimes a C is as good as you can get. I understand that. And sometimes C is better than failing. D is better than failing. D is still passing, God. If I got to be a D student once in a while, God, I guess that's okay. But God, I don't want to be a D student. I want to be a straight A student. Let me learn it, God. Help me. Show it to me. God, I'm a little dense and my eyesight's not real good. So would you just put it in like neon lights right in front of me? Just let me know what I'm supposed to do. God wants to bring you to a place of maturity where He can develop you and prepare you not just to receive a blessing, but also to become a blessing. And so some of us, we need to take off our coats of immaturity. We need to lay aside and stop. I've had to work on this with all four of the boys that have lived in my house. That it's not always about you. That every time that we're talking about something, it doesn't have to come back to you. Go ahead and laugh. Maybe I'm the only home like that. That's okay. Aaron, if I can make you feel better this morning, that's okay, all right? I'm here to make you feel better, okay? You know, Aaron comes to me on a regular basis, Pastor, one of my boys has done this. Can you make me feel better? Absolutely. Have I got a story for you? And I can, I mean, hey, what can I say? You know, they take after their mother. No, unfortunately, they probably take after me in those areas. But as a human being, we live in a very selfish and immature society, and we bring everything back to us. And I think sometimes that just happens to cross over in our spiritual walk as well. And I know this isn't getting me any brownie points with any of you this morning, but it's good preaching. And I'm here to help you, and I'm here to love you, and I'm here to help you to get to that next level that God has for you. That sometimes you got to realize that it's not always about you. That's not always about you. There's a bigger picture out there, and God wants to take you to a place of maturity where not only do you get blessed, but you can be a blessing to someone else. Whether it be emotionally, where you can call someone up. I've done this recently with a pastor. I just call him and say, "Hey, I just want to speak into your life today. I just want to bless you today. I understand that sometimes pastoring can be hard, and I said I don't have a thing. I don't need a thing. I don't want a thing. I just want to encourage you today." Haven't always been able to do that. Just being honest. Haven't always been able to do that, but getting to the point where I can do that, or maybe it's financially where you can see that someone has a need and you're like, "Hey, you know what? Here it is." And just give them an envelope and walk away. And say, I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's not about me. It's not about how much can I get. Because as you do that, I never give to get. But I promise you this, because I give, I get. Because God blesses me. And that's not arrogance. That's just standing on the word of God. That's just being honest with my life, that God has blessed my life. But God blesses my life because I'm willing to bless other people. God blesses your life when you're willing to bless other people. And so sometimes we gotta lose that coat of immaturity and move on. The second coat. The second time that we see that Joseph loses a coat is in Genesis chapter 30 now. I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little bit. I haven't preached in like 4 weeks. Can you not tell? I got so much burn inside of me. The second coat is a coat of self-sufficiency. Genesis chapter 39, we have the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's gone, and everybody's gone. It's just Potiphar's wife and Joseph. Now, I'm just going to say this. The Bible says that Potiphar was the chief of the guards. He was the chief bodyguard. He had Pharaoh's ear. And I just promise you this. In that particular time, if you had that level of authority, your wife was a babe. It's true. Hate me if you want. Judge me if you want. I'm just telling you the truth. She was good looking. And she threw herself on Joseph. Not one time, but multiple times. You can read it. And Joseph says, he tells her, "I can't do this. Don't you understand that your husband, my master, he trusts me. I have control of everything in the house. I have control of his money. I have control of his resources. I have control of his other servants. I have control. It's the only thing in this house that I can't touch is you. Everything else is at my discretion. I can, because he trusts me that much. I can't do that to him, but even more importantly, I love what it says, but even more importantly, I can't sin against my God." Think about that. He had been thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. He felt like he had been completely forgotten about. And if anybody wanted to just kind of take care of himself and say, that would feel good. I'm self-sufficient. That would feel good. And she's good looking and nobody's here and nobody's going to know. But God knows. And I can't do it. And she tried to wear him out. And she tried to wear him down day in and day out. And finally, they're all alone. And it's time to put up or shut up. It's where the proverbial rubber meets the road. And he's got to say, am I going to take care of myself? Or am I going to rely on God? And he does one of these. He does a spin. And she grabs his jacket. She grabs his jacket again. And as he spins, it stays in her hand. Once again, it no longer fit him. He couldn't take care of himself. It no longer fit him. And the problem is this, the truth is this. No matter where you are, no matter how good you have it, you didn't get there by yourself, and you didn't get there by only your hard work. You got there because of the blessings and the favor of God. I'm not saying you didn't work hard, because I believe that you got to work hard. I believe that with all my heart, that God doesn't reward lazy people. In fact, Scripture says lazy people shouldn't eat. Just saying. Okay? But you can work as hard as you want. And if the favor and blessing of God is not on your life, you're not going to get all the way to the top. Because the fact of the matter is, Joseph got where he was, not just because of who he was, but because of whose he was. And we need to understand that everything that you have, oh, you might have worked hard, and I thank you for that. But even more importantly, I've seen some hard workers. I mean, men and women. Who worked dawn to dusk and not have two nickels to rub together. I've seen them in the farms, and I've seen them in factories, and I've seen them in coal mines in West Virginia. Guys that go and work and work and work. So hard working is not just enough. We need to understand, no matter how good we have it, that we didn't obtain it in our own strength and our own sufficiency. That God, favor and blessing shine down upon us. God wants to promote Joseph to the next level. In fact, listen to this, Psalm 75 and verse 6. It says this, for exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one, and he exalts another. He puts down one. He exalts another. And so some of us, we need to understand, we need to realize, and this, I'm just going to be honest, this is one that I've struggled with over the years because of the way I was brought up, man, you just work hard. And if you work hard, things will happen. And sometimes I don't understand it, but you can work hard and things don't happen, and you can do everything that's right, and it still doesn't turn out the way you want it to, because I'm relying on myself, I'm relying on my own knowledge, I'm relying on my own intuition, I'm relying on my own strength. But when I get to the point where I say, okay, God, I'm still going to do my part, I'm still going to work hard, but I want to work hard at what you want me to work at. And when I work hard at what he wants me to work at, then all of a sudden, things get a whole lot better. Things get a whole lot brighter. You know, things get a whole lot more tolerable. God wants to take you to a level of greatness, not just to a level of good enough, but a level of more than enough. You got to understand that. Because Joseph could have been happy. Think about this. Even though he was a servant, he had a pretty good life. He could have been happy just to stay there and do what was best for him. But he said, I can't sin against God. It's not about what I want. It's not about my desires. It's not about what I think I should do. I need to do what God wants me to do. You see, and so we need to understand that sometimes we need to lose that coat of self-sufficiency. And then the third one this morning I want to talk about is the coat of bondage. Because where did Joseph go? Think about it. He's done the right thing. He's done the right thing. He didn't. I can't imagine what Joseph went through, how discouraging it must have been. He had this dream. And I find it amazing that everywhere he went, that the Lord was with Joseph. Even after his brothers beat him up and threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery, when he was in Potiphar's house and he'd been sold not once but twice because there was a band of Ishmaelites that came by and bought him, and the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. He got sold twice, and the Bible says he got sold for 20 shekels of silver. 20 shekels of silver is less than $15. The going rate for a male slave was 30 shekels. So his brothers didn't just sell him, they embarrassed him. They said, you're not even worth a slave. You're not even as good as a slave. And they spoke that stuff into his life. And yet the Lord was still with Joseph, and he goes to Potiphar's house, and now he's done what's right again. He's had integrity, and he's had moral purity, and now he's been lied about. And he's thrown into a prison. And now, so he's done what's right, and now he's in bondage. He's in bondage. Ever been there? Ever tried to live for God and do what's right? And no matter what you do, it feels like it comes out wrong. Nothing holds us back anymore from our God-ordained destiny than bondage. And there's several kinds of bondage. Bondage to behaviors, addictions, and desires, and attitudes, and things like that. Bondage to past failures. Unable to walk in the promises of today because of regrets and sins and mistakes of yesterday. Bondages of wrong relationships. People who bring us down. And not just boyfriends and girlfriends, but friends and co-workers and business partners. And bondage of past hurts, you know, things that we just can't let go of for whatever reason. And they hold us captive, and they hold us prisoner. They keep us like we feel like we're in a straitjacket where we can't move our arms and we can't do anything. We can't move our feet. We feel like we're completely entrapped. Think about this. Not only was Joseph in bondage, but those who had offended him were free. Those who had done the wrong were free. Joseph was in bondage. And how many times is that true in our life? Where someone offends us, and we're in bondage to the offense, and they're walking around free because they didn't know, they don't care, or they forgot. And that seems pretty straightforward, I know, but that's really why, you know, or we've done something in the past, and God's forgiven us, and the person that we offended, they've moved on, and they're living free, and we're still trapped by that past failure, by that past hurt. We're still trapped by that behavior because we're in bondage. Bondage destroys our joy, it robs our peace, and it kills our dreams. I want to read that to you again. It destroys our joy, it robs our peace, and it kills our dreams. We cannot be who God wants us to be. We cannot get to the destiny that God wants us to get to if we still have the bondage of past hurts and past failures and wrong relationships and behaviors. Scripture says in John 8:36, whom the Son of sets free is free indeed. And the Greek word there, and I'm going to murder it, but I'm going to do my best, is eleutheros. And it means to be unrestrained, total freedom from all bondage. You see, when God, we're talking about forgiveness on Wednesday night, and teens and adults are here on Wednesday night. Some of what I'm going to close up with is going to sound very familiar. Miss Lori, if you could come back and help me wrap this up, because I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night. But one of the hardest things to do, and in fact, if we have youth group Wednesday night, Brother Scott's going to be teaching on this, is forgiving ourselves. If Aaron offends me, I can forgive Aaron. Honestly, I can. I can forgive him without much difficulty. But I have a hard time forgiving myself. I am, and maybe you are too, my own worst critic. You know, hard on myself. Want perfection. And we need to get to the point where we can forgive ourselves, because Christ made us free when he forgave us. When we accept him as our Savior, Christ made us free. And that was free from what the Greek word says there. That is freedom from all bondage. That is freedom from our past hurts and our past failures. And if Christ can forgive us, I need to learn to forgive myself. And as you read down through there, and you know the rest of the story, those are the three coats that he took off. There's one coat, though, that he had to put on. And I'm going to grab this one because this one will fit. I know none of Aaron's family is going to fit me. I love you, Aaron. I love you all, but you guys just ain't big enough for me. But he had to put on the coat that God had for him. It was the coat of authority. Genesis chapter 41. I won't read it all to you, but if you read down through Genesis chapter 41, finally, he's in prison. A baker and a butler come, and they have a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream for them. And he says, "Here, I have just one favor for you. When you get back to Pharaoh's house, don't forget about me." The dreams come true. The baker loses his head. The butler gets it restored. And as soon as he's restored, he forgot about Joseph. Two long years. Now he's been beaten, sold, lied about, thrown in prison, and forgotten about. Anybody want to be Joseph? Pharaoh has a dream. The butler remembers what's going on. He says, "Hey man, there's a man down." Pharaoh, he says, "There's a man down in prison. He can tell you what the dream's all about." And Joseph says, "I don't interpret dreams. God interprets dreams, but let me pray about it. I'll tell you what the dream means." He tells him what the dream means. He says, "You've had it once, not once, but you've had it twice, because it's going to come to pass." He said that, you know, you're going to have seven good years and seven bad years, and this is what God wants you to do. God says that in the seven good years, you need to store up, you need to save up, so that when the seven bad years come, you're prepared for the seven bad years. And Pharaoh looks at him and says, "Whoa. You're a man of God. We're going to do what you said, but we're going to make it even better. I'm going to put you in charge of it. I'm going to put you in charge of it. I'm going to give you, I'm going to put on you." And he says, he gives him a signet ring. And scripture says he gives him royal garments. He put on royal garments. He put on royal garments. Never could have got to where he was supposed to be. Never could have got the jacket to fit the shoulders if he hadn't lost the coat of immaturity. If he hadn't lost the coat of self-sufficiency. Russ, if he hadn't lost the bondage of past hurts and past failures, never could have put on the coat that God had for him. If he hadn't gone through the journey that God had for him. Next week, I promise you, you want to come in here. There's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your pain. Never could have gotten to the point where he was second in command. Never could have gotten to the point never could have gotten to the point where when his brothers came and they said, you need to forgive us. Dad wants you to forgive us. Never got to the point where he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. Never could have gotten to that point. Never could have put on the right coat that identified him. Never could have gotten that identity. Never could have gotten that status as a child of God, as a servant of the one true King. If he hadn't laid down, if he hadn't lost a few coats along the way. There's one more coat. There's one more thing that Joseph had to lose. Right after Pharaoh gives him his royal garments. Chapter 41 of Genesis, verses 50, 51, and 52, it says this. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. During the good years, he's been given the coat of authority. During the good years, his brothers haven't come yet. This is chapter 41. His brothers don't show up until chapter 45 for the first time. But during the good years, he has two boys. And remember, when you name a child, you're prophetically speaking in biblical times. And the first boy, he names him Manasseh. For God has caused me to forget. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, I could be bitter. I could be angry. I could be rip-roaring mad at my brothers. I could wanna end the exact revenge on Potter's first wife. I could wanna take it out on the butler. I could wanna get even. I could wanna do this and I could wanna do that. But you know what? God caused me to lose one more jacket in the spiritual realm that you didn't see in the physical realm. God has caused me to forget. He's helped me to forgive. So many of us don't get to where God wants us to because we carry around the coat of unforgiveness. Sister so-and-so offended me 32 years ago. It was the third Sunday of March at 11:15 a.m. Pastor so-and-so said this 4 years ago. It was the fourth Sunday of August at 10:53 a.m. And I'm bitter. And instead of being bitter, God wanted Joseph to be better. And so God worked on Joseph behind the scenes so that in the good years, when he could have, he's in the prison, he can't get his revenge. He's in the pit. He can't get his revenge. But he's in the good years now. He's got a wife. He's got some authority. He's got resources. God blesses him with children. And he prophetically speaks over his boy, but I also think more than that, he prophetically spoke over his life. They say forgive and forget, and I don't know how to forget, but I think right there it tells me how to forget. Because I can't forget. But God can make me forget. Somehow along the line, God reached down and said, Joseph, You're not going to be bitter. You're going to forgive them. Here's the truth. Forgiveness is setting a prisoner free. Lewis Smead said this, a great theologian. Forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and realizing that that prisoner was you. God has made me forget. So we put on the coat of forgiveness. And then with the second boy, he put on another coat. The word Ephraim means doubly fruitful. Doubly fruitful. Because when he's prophetically spoken into his life the first time, said, I've forgiven, I've moved on, I don't have bitterness. God said, okay, now, I can bless you. And not only can I bless you, but I can bless you in the land of your affliction. I can bless you in the land of your hurt. I can bless you, Robin, in the land of your hopelessness. I can bless you, Diane, in the land of your loneliness. I can bless you, Levi, in the strange land that you've moved to. The land of your affliction. He prophetically spoke and said, you know what? Because I took off immaturity, and because I took off self-sufficiency, and because I took off bondages, because I lost the coats, because I laid them down, God has now allowed me to put on a coat of authority and to put on a coat of unforgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is given to forgive, to put on a coat of forgiveness and to put on a coat of praise and to put on a coat of blessing. Hallelujah. Two more points and then we're going to pray. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And it's not dependent upon the person. Forgiveness is not about them. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is for you. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe there's some things you need to lay down. Maybe there's some things that you feel like you've lost. Joseph didn't really lay down his first coat. It got taken from him. His brothers took it from him. But when you feel like you've lost something or you've laid something down, whether it be a title or a relationship or an opportunity, remember God is always up to something. What we see as a setback could very well be God setting us up for a step up to the next level. What we see as a setback could actually be a setup from God. Because I believe, I know Scripture says God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I know as an earthly father, I have this conversation with my boys on a regular basis, especially as they get older and they want to do things that I don't think they should do. And they get mad at me and they say, you don't trust me. And my reply to them is, Jacob, Josh, Andrew, Anthony, I won't tell you which one. My responsibility as your father is to put you in positions where you can succeed. My responsibility is to protect you and prepare you and to put you into success, to situations where you can succeed. If you don't like me, I don't like that you don't like me. But I'd rather you not like me and be successful than to like me and fail. I set them up for success. I've done it with all of them. My goal is when they get married, every woman that comes into their wife, every woman that comes into my family is a daughter-in-law. She's going to be treated like a princess. She's going to be the queen of her home. Because I've showed them that, and I'm not sexist, I promise you, I'm not. But ask Jen when the last time was she picked up a shovel. You're a male, you will work. If you're old enough to walk, you're big enough to shovel when it snows. Big enough to pull weeds. Developing a work ethic so they can be successful. Teaching them manners and just respect people and to treat people the right way. Because I want to set them up to be successful. And if I care that much about my earthly kids, how much does your heavenly Father care about you? I believe He set you up for success. And just like Jake and Josh and Andrew and Anthony don't always think that I'm setting them up for success, they think I'm being mean. I believe there are times that the heavenly Father does things that in our earthly eyes and in our earthly emotions, we feel like they're mean. We feel like they're not fair. But what He's actually doing is He's setting you up for the next level. God could never make Joseph forget if he hadn't lost the coat of immaturity. God could have never blessed Joseph if he hadn't lost the coat of self-sufficiency. And I wonder this morning, is there a coat you need to lose? I'm going to pray. That's it. That's the altar call. If there's a coat you need to lose, as I pray, won't you come and lay it down? Oh, He could take it, but it's much less painful when you decide, this doesn't fit anymore. Isaac's jacket didn't fit me. I'd have popped a few seams. I need to take this one off and get one tailor-made for me. Is there a coat you need to lose this morning? If there is, I'm going to invite you to come. Precious Heavenly Father, Father, Lord God, I just love You and I thank You. Father, Lord God, I just ask You right now, Lord God, that You'd help us to search our hearts, Lord God. Father, I just ask You right now that we would just really search and wonder, God, what in my life, what do I need to lay down? What's hindering me, Lord God? What's keeping me? If there's someone here this morning, God, that everything revolves around them and they need to lay down that coat of immaturity, Lord God. I pray this morning that they would come and lay down that coat of immaturity. Maybe there's one here this morning, Lord God, that I can do it by myself. I'm a Mainer. I can do this. God, I pray this morning they'd lay down that self-sufficient attitude, Lord God. Realize, God, that as they become dependent upon You, that You want to do so much more. God, maybe there's a bondage here in the house this morning. Maybe there's an addiction. Chemical, physical, emotional. God, they need to lay down the bondage of addiction, God. They need to lay down the bondage of past hurts. Maybe there's someone here this morning, God, that's been hurt in the past and they're holding on to that. God, I pray this morning that they would just lay that down. And walk in the freedom, Lord, that You have for them. God, if there's maybe it's a past failure. Father, we all have past failures. God, I pray that You'd help us to lay those all down. That we would learn the lesson You want us to learn, but lay them down and walk away from them.